Hey, welcome to the Wednesday podcast. Today is a really busy day here at the Blaze TV. We have a massive special that we've been working 2 months on. It airs tonight at 8 p.m. YouTube, Facebook, and Blaze TV. We're giving you 20% off of your membership if you want to join us at blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code GB20 off, and you'll save 20% today on your membership. But please subscribe. We'll talk about this on the podcast today. Steven Crowder may lose his YouTube platform. He's had 3 strikes now, and they're threatening to take him off. I think we had, I thought I heard 50 flags just last week from YouTube on us, on things that nobody else is getting flagged on. It's crazy what they're doing to silence now the Blaze and us. We really need your support. So we talk a little bit about Venezuela and socialism. In fact, that's all we really talk about today. There's some really, really fascinating angles on socialism today. And I bring it to socialism as evil at the beginning of the show and at the end of the show in 2 different ways. If you wonder why our kids are committing suicide, if you're worried about your children, make sure you listen to the suicide rates in kids that I talked about in today's podcast. Also, Marion Smith. What was amazing is this guy runs the Memorial Foundation for Victims of Communism. And he said something that I didn't pick up. Stu did. And it's pretty astounding.
It really is. We have moved very far, very fast. 25 years ago, this organization to memorialize the victims of communism was created by a unanimous act of Congress. 25 years later, we're trying to say, hey, maybe socialism isn't such a good idea.
And these guys are very clear. Yeah. Socialism, communism.
Democratic socialism.
Democratic socialism, Nazism. It's all the same, and it's a death trap. You don't want to miss it. Also, Justin Haskins. He's a 31-year-old guy who started, Socialism is Evil or SocialismSucks.com, something like that. What is it? StoppingSocialism.com is what he started. And he wrote a book called Socialism is Evil. He talks about the media and what's happening and how close we are to losing our country. So that's today's podcast. And we'll see you 8 p.m. Eastern, Facebook, YouTube, and Blaze TV.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Home Title Lock. You can sign up now at HomeTitleLock.com. It's a $100 search for free when you sign up. This is not something that just you need. It is also something that everybody in your family, especially your parents, need, especially if they've paid a lot of their mortgage off already. Don't lose your home. HomeTitleLock.com.
Imagine a darkness, something darker and scarier than the deepest parts of the ocean. Darker than that awful darkness of space, the darkness of night, a house shackled by darkness because there isn't any electricity, and there hasn't been for months. But then again, that's not the dark I'm talking about. The real dark is the dark part that lives inside of you, the things that you now have to do on a daily basis just to stay alive. Around the corner, you hear the bestial shouts from a Caracas jail. The prisoners have taken over, at least that's what you hear. They feel they can do a better job of controlling themselves than whoever has been doing it lately. It was 100 years ago that this country was lavished in wealth. Not too long ago, you too were rich, you were healthy in that chubby 19th century Russian diplomat way. You ate well, you probably ate too much. Black turtle beans and fried bananas, asado negro. You drool just thinking of the tender shredded beef and the carrot and oregano tinged broth. You strode through steakhouses on special occasions. You ate T-bones like a Texan. You drank Chilean wines, Malbec from Argentina. Occasionally, a glass of cognac. Not because you were drunk, but because you could. because you enjoy the sprouting goodness that life had to offer. Man, that life, it seemed like it was never going to end. Now look at yourself. You're a bag of bones. Bones jutting out like false teeth. At times, you think about all the energy you waste just breathing. What happened? Now you can barely afford a single egg. One egg. Eggs that fall out of the backsides of chickens, and I can't afford it? Your mouth quivers at the thought of a fried egg, tender. So tender it pops open with just the prod of a fork oozing onto the fried papaya and rotisserie chicken. You've lost 120 pounds since it all started going to hell. And now, you're in it firmly. You weren't rich, you were middle class, lower middle class even. That's just how good things used to be. Although there was always the cinder block hovels that you can see from the plane as you land in Caracas. But now it has spread. The office where you used to work as an accountant, it's now empty, abandoned, overtaken by squatters, people like you who lost everything, who limp a little more each day toward their death. Men all in black now patrol the streets with shotguns, black bulletproof vests and black tarp-like shirts and black pants, black military boots. People hamper cars in the street because there's nowhere to go. Nothing to do. Gasping a bit, you rest below a crucifix statue, the left tilting head of Christ emblazoned in a soft and sad light, the burnished rise of daylight breathing into a new day. Looking at Christ, perhaps for the first time you understand suffering. You understand his defeated look, the look of hopelessness and violence and death. The hopelessness of surrendering, and surrendering until it stops mattering. You hope. You have that one hope left that all things will change. But you really hope that just anything begins to change. It was all so promising at the beginning. Everybody was going to be able to live the high life. And now, only a handful are. And they are the ones that live behind the gates. This, you think to yourself, this is the socialist utopia they promised all of us as Venezuelans? As you sit there under the statue, you begin to replay it all in your mind and wonder, where are all those Americans, those celebrities, those from Hollywood that praised our leaders and helped convince us that this was the road to prosperity? I wonder what they're eating tonight.
You know, I saw something on MSNBC yesterday. They were giving the Venezuela coverage. In case you don't know, Venezuela is in revolution today. People are being killed today on the streets. And I was watching MSNBC, a network that has held up Venezuela, Hugo Chavez and Maduro as the future, held them up for us to see as socialism was our future. It was what we needed to do. It was what's going to repair our health care, our country. It's going to make everyone equal. Yes, socialism makes everyone equal, equally miserable, equally hungry, and eventually equally dead. I want to play you a clip from MSNBC yesterday. Listen to this.
With the help of Russia and other outside forces, Maduro is hanging on.
Not only hanging on, but he appears to still control the military. You have to understand, in Venezuela, gun ownership is not something that is open to everybody. So if the military have the guns, they have the power. And as long as Nicolas Maduro controls the military, he controls the country.
That needs to be played at the top of every hour. on every station, every hour, all the time. At the same time, we all feel, but if you are on the left, you feel that Donald Trump is such a danger that he is a fascist. You call him a Nazi, a fascist. And at the same time, you say, get rid of guns. Both sides in this country are afraid of fascism, communism, authoritarianism. Call it what you want. And we're talking about giving up our guns? We're talking about, thank God we have the Second Amendment. And I mean that sincerely. Thank God today. America, pull back from the brink. America, wake up, humble yourself, humble yourself. You know why we're having this struggle? Because we're so arrogant as a nation, we don't even remember how kind God has been to us. We don't even remember, we can't even see anymore how much we have. All we think is what we don't have. And we're thinking about giving up our guns. I'm proud to have a sponsor of this half hour of the program. It's the USCCA. It is the United States Concealed Carry Association. My sister was in a theater on Sunday. My sister, she was two rows behind a guy who said he had a bomb and was going to take everybody up to Jesus. There was a man in the theater, just an ordinary citizen with a concealed carry. He had a concealed gun. He held that man on his knees until police arrived. In San Diego, the day before, a madman walked into a synagogue. He started shooting. He shot one person who jumped in front of the rabbi, gave her life for his. And in that time, the good guy with the gun stopped this would-be mass murderer. And we're thinking about giving up our guns? America, is there a greater gift to you than Venezuela? What's happening in Venezuela? We have no empathy anymore. How did you sleep last night? Last night I went home. And we had a friend over in the first thing I said to my friend, because we have been paying attention to Venezuela, the first thing I said to them was, people are dying right now just to be free, just to have what we have. And I don't mean stuff. I mean freedom. Anyway, let me get to the commercial. USCCA, they are dedicated to educating, training, and legally protecting Americans like you. This week, they're giving you something free. They're giving a guidebook and an audiobook of exactly what to do in situations where someone comes in and has a gun. It's the Complete Concealed Carry and Family Defense Guide. It's 164 pages. They've even made it in an audiobook so you can listen to it. It's 100% free. How can you see the attackers before they see you? How can you survive a mass shooting scenario? Where is the best tactical place to be in a public area? Crazy things that we shouldn't have to think about. We never had. We never had to think about them in this country. What have we lost, America, that kept us from the brink of insanity? a personal note. I'm a little, I'm out of sorts today. I spent last 2 days finalizing the script for tonight's broadcast. And I knew last night when we finished rehearsal, I knew I hadn't felt what I felt last night since I was telling you that a caliphate was coming. And at that time, I had the arm of Fox, and I knew it could be heard. Tonight, I have my humble little platform, The Blaze. I have YouTube, and I have Facebook, and I've made it free. But with the algorithms, yesterday during the broadcast, I was told, if you use some of these pieces, they're going to say that you're violating copyright laws. And right now they're going after Steven Crowder. They're going after The Blaze on YouTube. They're going after us because of copyright laws. And copyright laws should be respected. But in our business, there is something called fair use. And what that means is, if you are a news program and you're trying to say, here's what this person said, here's what this person did, or here's what it's like, you can use a specific number of seconds to be able to show it as long as you credit the source. But for all of the videos that you may have watched on YouTube that have scenes from Marvel, that have people talking to you about Star Wars, those don't seem to be a problem. The problem is The Blaze. The problem is Steven Crowder. The problem is Glenn Beck. The problem is Mark Levin. And what I'm warning you about tonight is what is coming. And I know it to be true. And I know that whoever is supposed to see it will see it. And I know this audience will help spread the word. I've made it for free. We're being demonetized, so I'm not making any money on this special by putting it on YouTube. I never will make money on this. It's taken us almost 2 months to put it together. But I've chosen to put it in front of the paywall because it has to be seen. It has to be heard. But I don't know how somebody stays in business, and I don't know how our voices are going to survive if America doesn't wake up. Darkness is gathering. Our children, I believe, this is the hero generation. The one that's growing up right now, it's the hero generation. It's the generation that is going to save us. You see it in them. They come out squirrely. They come out defiant. Why? Because they're coming out with backbone. They're coming out with fight in them. They're coming out prepared, spiritually prepared. And everything in this world is tearing them down. Our kids are killing themselves at record rates. Why? Because nothing has meaning. Because life has no purpose. Because there is no right and wrong. There is no man and woman. There are no relationships. I want to talk to you today about a real evil that is killing our kids. And it's not a coincidence that our kids are feeling so discouraged right now that they're killing themselves in record numbers. It's not a coincidence. More on this coming up.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. I'm going to be a little unconventional. I'm going to do a little something that's not real commercial or even really liked. But, you know, that's kind of my thing. I want to speak to you sincerely, and I ask that you just listen to me before you roll your eyes or reject or anything. I just need you to listen to me for a second. Our children are killing themselves. Suicide rates for kids going through the roof. Some of the best, most valiant kids I've ever met are having suicidal thoughts. People that you are like, what? How is that even possible? I've had two suicides in my family. I have contemplated suicide myself when I was younger. So I understand it, and I understand how unreasonable it is, and I understand the difference between regular depression and clinical depression. I know what the mind can do, but there is something happening. Now, I'm going to frame this in a story. I'm going to frame this in a story that we've all heard if we grew up in a religious family at all. That there was a great war in heaven, and a third of the angels were lost. And the reason why a third of the angels lost is because this great war was about freedom of choice, free will. And Satan, who was an angel up with God, said, I can fix this. I can fix this. I can. All the bodies that you send down, all the souls that you send down, they're not going to be able to have any kind of redemption because they're going to be so dirty. They're going to fail. There's going to be so much suffering. And they're going to fail and they won't be able to come back to heaven. And so, God, just give me all the credit. I'll bring every single one of them back. They're going to have to do exactly what I say. And they won't have free will, but I'll bring them all back. And that's when Jesus comes in and says, no, they have to have free will. They have to make their own decisions. They have to chart their own course. I'll go down and I'll pay the price so they can come back. And this great war in heaven happens. And I've always been puzzled. A third of the angels, you're standing there singing praises. And somehow or another, this one guy convinces you that the guy you've been in the heavenly host singing praises for, you turn on? How is that possible? There's only one way it's possible. For someone to stand up and say, this God that you worship has no compassion. Has he no empathy? Is this just a game to him? He's going to send people into a war, and they're going to be battered and bruised, and some of them will lose. They're going to have massive pain and suffering, and all he has to do is take away their free will, and he won't do it. What kind of God are we worshiping? That argument is being had again, and it's happening here, right now. And it's being wrapped in the same lie: compassion, love, empathy, ending suffering. All you have to do is do what the leader tells you to do. And he'll make sure everyone comes home. Now, know that you're not going to have the bright days and the wild swings up, but you're also not going to have the wild swings down as a collective. How can you possibly, if you are a thinking, feeling human being, not see that? Because I am a thinking, feeling, individual human being. God created all men with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness means that we have a right to fail. Nothing in my life has ever come good, really worthy, without a struggle. My marriage, my children. Do I pray, God, please just make those teenagers shut up for half a second? Yes, I do. But because of my teenagers' struggles, I'm a better dad. I'm a more empathetic man. What is happening to us right now is evil. There is no two ways about it. Socialism is evil. It takes away man's right to free will. It is a bloodlust. It ends the same way every time. It ends the way it does in Venezuela. And how can I possibly say that? Well, let me give you three authoritarian regimes. One, China. Do you remember the man that stood in front of the tank? Two, ISIS. Do you remember what happened in Nice, where they took a truck and just drove it into people? Because people don't matter. And yesterday in Venezuela, the military just took a military truck and drove it into a crowd of people. It's a bloodlust. Is it a coincidence that an ancient evil that is against your free will, that all of our legends and stories, all of our religions revolve around this one story of freedom of choice? And it's an ancient battle that is the first battle that we ever know about? And that now people are trying to take away your freedom of choice, and it's wrapped in goodness? Satan doesn't come with horns and a red suit. He comes dressed in a Hugo Boss SS uniform. It looks sexy and seductive. It looks great. It's surrounded with propaganda and love and compassion. How can we let these poor people live? They have no quality of life. Is it a coincidence that socialism, the ancient battle of choice, also every single time comes with the ancient battle against the Jew? No time in history are we looking at socialists that don't turn anti-Semitic. Why? Why? Coincidence? Or ancient evil? There's one more thing. In my faith, and I want you to hear this clearly, I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, meaning what I believe is that we are living in the latter days. We're living in the last dispensation before the great change of love and Christ comes to earth. But in our theology, in our doctrine, we believe that everyone here on earth is here for a reason. Everyone. You. Your children, the children yet to be born, they're all coming for a reason. And you were born at this time for a reason, and you have a job to do. And our children are coming out either extraordinarily good, with the biggest hearts you've ever seen. Good, decent, caring, loving children that are beyond anything I've ever seen. Or they're coming out ornery as hell. Why? Our doctrine teaches us because these are the most righteous in the war in heaven. These are the ones who are on the front lines. They've already fought this battle before. And in the latter days, they have been saved for these days because we need those valiant ones to lead us crumb bums that just kind of stood in the back or were kind of there, but we weren't the leaders. Our children are. And they're coming out with everything that they need. And now that the world is being swept in darkness, being swept by this ancient evil, being swept by ideology that is dressed up to be so beautiful and caring and loving, and it is about authoritarianism. You will do it our way or you will die. And it's telling our children now, and it's using every tool that is meant for good to teach them that there's nothing to live for, that they're meaningless, that there is no right and wrong, that they have no purpose. They do. They do. There is no ballot measure that is going to change this. There is no party, no candidate that will change this. Until we recognize what we're dealing with and we call it out by name. Authoritarianism, be that fascism, communism, yes, socialism, not a giant welfare state. That is compassion. In my opinion, it is misplaced, but it is compassion nonetheless. Authoritarianism in any form is evil. And we have to stop arguing about things that are second principles. We have to humble ourselves, turn around, face God, and say, I'm sorry. Somehow or another, I got lost. I'm sorry. Somehow or another, we all got lost. I see what's happening. Don't talk to me about climate change. Don't talk to me about climate change unless you're a vegan, unless you don't fly, unless you don't have a car. Don't tell me something that you are passionate about that you say is going to destroy all of us unless you're living it. Don't talk to me about religious persecution unless you are working to free the slaves, the Christian slaves, the Jewish people that are being slaughtered, and yes, the Muslims in China that are being put into concentration camps. Don't talk to me about religious freedom. I'm tired of tweets. I'm tired of social media. I want to be surrounded by people who will put their faith in God, who will put their faith into practice, and will be who they were born to be.
This is the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Socialism is on the rise. Despite being responsible for the deaths of over 100 million people.
Such secrets you keep.
The full collapse of the Soviet Union, the crumbling nations of North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela, the totalitarian police state of China. Socialists are coming out of the shadows.
proclaiming virtue, moral superiority. It's already infiltrated our government. It's dismantled our values. Brick. My devastating brick. I talk to people all the time. They'll say, oh, we don't have anything to worry about. It can't happen here. The Constitution will save us. We found a document that was smuggled into the United States through the Iron Curtain in 1960. My researchers found it again. It's the blueprint of how to legally and within the framework of our own system take over a country and flip it.
They tell me what's wrong.
We see it for what it is. A roadmap to socialism. A warning from the dead.
It is May Day, and that is the name of our special that is happening tonight, airing everywhere. It is Socialism, A Warning from the Dead. When you see what we have uncovered and the case that we make, it is one that we have spent 2 months working on, and tonight you'll be able to see it live at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Please join us. One of the groups that has really been helping us on this to help find experts and people who witnessed this and people who have seen it to make sure that we get this story right is Marion Smith. He's the executive director of Victims of Communism, and he joins us now. Hello, Marion. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. Great to be with you.
I'm so grateful for the help that you have given us on this and for what you do. If people don't know what your organization is or does, could you please explain? Are you there, Marion?
It's a question he was not prepared to answer.
I guess.
Wow.
It only gets harder from here.
No, he had a problem with the phone line there, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah, they're a great organization. They've been talking. We've dealt with them for quite a long time, working back to even the Fox days, going through.
When we did our communism special on Fox, mm-hmm. which was, it was not really even this. I think that was a really good special. Mm-hmm. This is much more geared right to today on what's happening. But we wanted to make sure that we had this historically accurate, and Marion's back with us. Marion, tell us what your organization does.
Well, the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation was authorized by a unanimous act of Congress in 1993, and the mandate was to educate Americans about the history of communist regimes around the world and to memorialize the victims of those regimes. And that's some 100 million people who have been killed by some 40 communist socialist regimes around the world since 1917.
Marion, tell us the difference between communism and socialism, or just define socialism. What is socialism? Because people think it's Denmark or Sweden.
Right. Well, I mean, if you go back to Marx and Engels, they didn't really define the difference between socialism and communism. Both, of course, include the rejection of individual liberty in favor of collective justice and the abolition of private property. That's central to both communism and socialism. Marx said that communism would be the sort of end goal, the kind of utopian phase where government would no longer be needed and the state would wither away. So you could say in a certain sense that socialists are headed towards communism in the way that Christians might be headed to heaven.
People,
Lenin.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Lenin realized immediately after establishing power in Russia that communism was so far away from the reality of human existence that he established the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics mm-hmm. and put communism, you know, off into a distant future. But he did maintain the Marxist theory. And in his words, the end goal of socialism is communism.
So, you know, I have a new look at this because of the special that we've done that Marx and Engels talked about socialism and communism as really a two-step process. Socialism is what gets you to communism. And communism, we believe that communism is this horrible authoritarian, you know, slaughterhouse. But that's not communism. Communism really, when people say, well, communism was never done right or socialism was never done right. No. Communism has never been achieved, true communism, because that's the end goal. That's the higher law, if you will, where everything is given to the people and everything's this socialist utopia. That's communism, not the one with the jackbooted thugs. Socialism is the one that cleanses society, does all the hard work, heavy lifting, gets people on board, and then it gives birth to communism. Would you agree with that explanation?
Well, absolutely. Historically, that's exactly how it's played out. It's been socialists in power, working for the Communist Party, who have, you know, committed the atrocities, implemented the failed policies, all in the name of ideologically getting the people towards communism. And many of them are, I guess, cynical. I don't think Stalin was a true believer in Marxism, right. But he did understand that it was a very useful ideology of power, because it took philosophy and morality back to, you know, almost a pre-pagan era where might is right again, and there's absolutely no transcendent power or truth by which the standards of the rule can be judged.
Stu, last night I watched, what was the movie,
Downfall.
The Downfall.
Yeah.
And it's this, you've seen it, it's the one, Jay Leno can't be the replacement, you know, whatever it is.
The Hitler movie. The subtitles that everyone kind of ruined online.
Correct. Yeah. That is a powerful movie. I'd not watched it yesterday, Stu. We were talking about National Socialism. I've got to play a couple of clips if we can find an English translation or at least just read the text from it. At one point, if you remember right, they go in and Goebbels is his wife and he are going to kill the children. And she's talking and she said, I've got to kill the children. There is nothing left without National Socialism. And Hitler is talking about National Socialism and how it is the answer to everything. And people, Marion, say that the Nazis were not socialists. They were clearly socialists.
Absolutely. You have National Socialism, then we saw International Socialism, and now we're seeing Democratic Socialism. But the most important word in the description is socialism, and that is a philosophy and ideology that is antithetical to human flourishing because it denies fundamental aspects of human nature. And so it hasn't worked, you know, anywhere. And I think a lot of people weren't quite sure what democratic socialism was going to be. But we've seen it play out in Venezuela and now Nicaragua. And it's very clear that it's the same form of,
yes,
of terror and tyranny and eventually totalitarianism that both national socialism and international socialism, left us in the 20th century.
As you document the victims of communism, that's your, you know, Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, as you talk to these people, and I've talked to several of them myself, they cannot understand what Americans are thinking right now. Your job must be in some ways really fulfilling because you talk to these people who survived craziness. But it also must be extremely frustrating because I've met some of the victims and they just look at us like we're insane.
You're right. I mean, anybody who's lived through a socialist system, lived under the rule of a communist party, they know Marxist rhetoric when they hear it. They know class envy. Mm-hmm. They know the language of hatred when they hear it. And, you know, they're astounded when they see that a majority of millennials in the United States say they would prefer to live in either a socialist or a communist country as opposed to a capitalist one. And one of the great privileges of my job is to be able to meet with ordinary heroes who survived the atrocities from Ethiopia to Cuba to Laos and Poland and Vietnam. Tens of millions of them made their way to the United States. And it is a meaningful task to try to connect those survivors, those witnesses of communism, with teachers and students and millennials and Gen Zers in the United States, so that they can realize, they can hear the stories, right? Because, you know, we're really not talking about, you know, mathematics and logic and historical, the historical record when we're debating socialism. This rage for socialism really is a very emotional argument, you know, devoid of facts and based on ignorance, I think, for the majority of people, although there are some dyed and wool hard Marxists who are becoming very active these days and taking advantage of it. But I think when younger people realize that if you start with a desire to make the world better and provide opportunity and freedom and equality for human beings, there's no way you can end up thinking socialism is the path forward. It is the anti-progress, the anti-justice, the anti-equality ideology that has brought more suffering and poverty and destruction to the world than any other set of ideas in human history.
Only behind disease and infection for the number of people killed in the 20th century. Marion Smith, the executive director of Victims of Communism, thank you for what you do. Thank you for your hard work. And thank you so much for always being there to receive our phone call when we are calling and saying, we have to understand this, and we appreciate all that you have done for us. Thank you so much, Marion.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Justin Haskins is with us. He's the executive editor of the Heartland Institute, somebody who has been on my radar for quite a while. And I went up to CPAC and I intentionally tried to sneak in on a panel and watch him. Unfortunately, it was a smaller room, and so he saw me. And I hope I didn't throw you off at all, but you were fantastic.
Thank you. You're very sneaky, by the way.
Am I? Yeah.
You are really sneaky.
But you were truly fantastic.
Thank you very much.
And so we've talked several times, and I wanted to have you on today. And you're part of the special that we're talking about on socialism, because you have a book out that is, what is it? Socialism is Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Easy title to remember.
Yeah.
That's what I was shooting for.
I mean, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. And also you are with stoppingsocialism.com. And I think we talked about this years ago on the air when you said you were doing something, or maybe I just talked about it.
I think you just imagined this.
Really?
But yeah. I think I might have
just talked about it.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You did talk about it.
Yeah. And you were just a guy who was, you know, you were a student, I think, at the time, and you were wanting to put up.
Yeah, this is something I've been wanting to do for a very, very long time. And so the past, really with the rise of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, I realized something absolutely had to be done right away. Like, we couldn't wait any longer. The country is going to disappear in 10 years if we don't do something right now.
Yeah, I don't know if we have.
So naturally,
10
I
years.
Made a website because, yeah, you know, right. That saves the world. That's
well, you know what? But I tell you, getting the word out about socialism. Because, you know, I was thinking about it last night, and I talked about it in hour one. And please, if you have children, please listen to the podcast today. You can listen to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Just look for the Glenn Beck Program podcast and listen to hour one, because I talk about how socialism is truly evil. I've tried to ban that word from my lexicon. I don't want to call people evil. I don't want to. But this is truly evil.
Yeah, there's no question about it at all. And I think one of the primary things that I wanted to get across to people, especially young people, is that this isn't just about economics. Economics are important, mm-hmm. but it's not just about economics. This is about morality. Even if you could create a society where you had socialism and it was actually effective and people weren't, you know, killing zoo animals to survive, mm-hmm. which is how it always ends up, mm-hmm. It wouldn't matter. Because you would still have a highly immoral, evil system that imposes.
Why is it? Because it's easy to make the case that socialism is moral, because you just want to feed people, you just want to help people, you want to make sure everybody has a job, you want to make sure that everybody has health care. So it's easy to make that it's moral. How do you make the case that it's evil and immoral?
I think that the chink in the armor for younger people, reaching younger people, is that younger people want to be, they want to say that they support diversity. That's like the worst thing you could say about someone who's my age is that they're a bigot or that they're not, they don't support diversity. The problem with socialism is that you can't have diversity in socialism. It is impossible. It is literally tyranny of the majority. Mm-hmm. That's what socialism is.
Especially democratic socialism.
Yes.
Voting in slavery by majority rule does not make slavery just. It makes it slavery that you voted for.
That's right. Yeah, I think Benjamin Franklin said democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for dinner.
Yes.
That's exactly what the situation is here.
Yes.
And so if you're a religious minority or in society, or you're a moral minority in society, and eventually everyone is a minority in society ideologically in some fashion,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't, in a socialist society, it doesn't matter what you want. All that matters is the collective. Collective becomes God. They decide what's right. They decide what's wrong. They decide which direction we should move in. If they decide we're going to have abortion, then we're going to have abortion. If they decide that we're going to have physician-assisted suicide, then that's what we're going to have.
And if they decide we're going to round up Japanese, we'll round up Japanese.
Exactly.
They decide we're going to have slavery, we will have slavery.
And if you oppose it, it doesn't matter. And not only does it not matter that you don't oppose it, you have to pay for it. You have to be a part owner of it.
This is what's crazy is, you know, the people don't like capitalism because they think that capitalism is so evil because it does all of these things. But you're not forced to buy stock in Exxon or to buy gasoline or to buy whatever it is you don't like. And if it's truly immoral and hurting people, killing people, you know, whatever it is, if it truly is a detriment, you can work through the government to get those things corrected. There is a police officer to run to. But if that system is taken away, all those capitalistic tools are then just brought into the government. So now you have to own it. You have to be a part of it. You cannot call the police because the police are part of it.
Yeah, we were talking about this with Medicare for All just a minute ago. I mean, how many people are employed by the medical insurance industry right now? If you were to get, basically what they're arguing is we're just going to get rid of all these insurance companies. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of people at minimum that would be out of work and what would just now go apply at the government and hopefully work there. And we, you know, insurance companies can be a pain in the ass. There's no doubt about it. But imagine going to the government with your complaints.
Right.
It would be much, much worse.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And it's not just with healthcare. That's the thing that we tend to focus on the most. But it's not just with healthcare. Look at the Green New Deal. Look at what they're trying to do with the Green. I mean, literally, the Green New Deal, the plan is, this is the plan. Let's destroy millions of jobs. And let's just create a bunch of new government jobs. And then the government's going to take care of you from the womb to the tomb. That's the plan. And it's crazy that anybody actually thinks it's a good idea to get rid of millions and millions and millions of jobs in the fossil fuel industry. Yeah. Across the board, gas stations. How would any of this work? They're just going to get rid of millions of jobs overnight.
Right.
Well, that's what they do. That is what socialists do. When they take over, they have to destroy the people who are against it or who have run it. So you don't ever have experts running things because they're usually in the gulag or they're dead. Farming. When I heard Elizabeth Warren come out and say, we've got to break up big farms, my first thought was, wait a minute, that's food. And while I am a small rancher and I own a small farm and I live in a community of very small farmers who do have to compete with these industrialized farms, you know what? As much as I don't like government getting, you know, giving bailouts and everything else to these government farms, let's not shut them down because you got nothing to replace it with. And that's what happens in country after country after country. They immediately go after these big farms and the farmers. They usually kill all of them.
Right.
And then the people who have no idea what they're doing go in and try to farm and everyone starves to death.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? The government doesn't actually know how to manage any of these things
that
they want to regulate.
None of it.
But they're always talking about regulate. I mean, what... again, the thing that I talk about all the time with younger people especially is look at the Postal Service. Look at Amtrak. That's just delivering mail and running the trains. That's it. And they can't do those things without losing billions and billions of dollars. Shouldn't you have to at least learn how to deliver mail without losing $3.9 billion before I put you in charge of the healthcare industry, which is like 13% of GDP?
Right.
I mean, but it just, they are so convinced that this is a form of charity that they don't care about the efficiency. That's why you have to make a moral argument against it, too.
But here's the amazing thing. And Justin, you did such a great job at taking the Green New Deal apart and talking about, you know, look, if you really believed this, why would you be talking about most of this stuff?
Right.
But if you look at the new Green Bill, in the actual bill, it talks several times about its goal is to flip our economic system to a system of environmental and economic justice or social justice. So in it, it talks about its main goal is to shut down capitalism and the free market.
Right.
And nobody's talking about it. Nobody. It's like, wait, you're writing that down.
Yes, they're not hiding it.
No.
I mean, this is a, I mean, I've been calling it a socialist Trojan horse. It's not even really a Trojan horse.
It's just right there.
It's just there. They're saying, hey, is this socialism? You guys want it or what? The reason it's sort of a Trojan horse is because the media won't tell people the truth about it. They don't talk about those elements of the Green New Deal. They only talk about the saving the planet part. Mm-hmm. They don't want to talk about the rest of it because the rest of it is crazy communistic, you know.
Right.
Crazy
authoritarian
stuff. Yeah, it's authoritarianism.
Yeah, I mean, we should stop using maybe the word communism and socialism and just start using the words authoritarian.
Yep.
Because
statism.
That's what it is. It's statism and authoritarianism. And people get caught up on socialism. No, that's not what we mean. Well, it doesn't matter what you mean. What matters is what they mean and what they write down. And it is authoritarian in its plans and stated goals. Back in just a second with Justin Haskins. He is the executive director of the Heartland Institute. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Haskins. Also, his website, stoppingsocialism.com and heartland.com.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.